Out of the gun, Brady throws, fade, Gronkowski back right corner of the end zone, caught it, touchdown, New England. Tom Brady to Rob Gronkowski, 5 yards out, and now the New England Patriots lead grows to 34-7. 34 unanswered points for the New England Patriots.
That was Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. We thought after that Mike Mularkey would remain as the head coach of the Titans. Not the case. Early Monday morning, Mike Mularkey and the Titans part ways. I guess they were discussing an extension. That was according to Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network. Didn't work out, and so he is out the door. And now the Titans are going to interview Mike Vrabel and some more people, as that's how the AFC South turns. I thought that this weekend was going to ensure that we were going to have Mularkey next season in Tennessee and Bortles in Jacksonville, which I still believe. But one of those will now not be happening.
It's interesting because, for one, I think it's a good sign, Mike. I know that you wanted Mularkey to stay in Tennessee because you felt like they had a ceiling there. There was a glass Mike Mularkey ceiling that would keep them from going too far. I do wonder how hosed he's getting just because so much of this season has been about Marcus Mariota's health. In that game, including where Marcus Mariota gets injured in the first quarter, they had to change their MO. They had to change their play calling and their game planning because Marcus Mariota was injured in that game, and they couldn't use his mobility. And you saw where they had some early success. They obviously never had that success again. I don't know how much of that or any of it this season is necessarily Mike Mularkey's fault. There are all kinds of rumors coming out of NFL.com types and Michael Lombardi types that the front office flat out didn't like Mike McCarthy, so that maybe ownership
Mularkey.
Might maybe, what did I say?
McCarthy.
Well, they don't like him either. They don't like Mularkey. Maybe ownership did and John Robinson didn't, the GM. I don't know exactly what happened, but it was clear that I don't think anybody, including in Tennessee or outside of Tennessee, felt like, hey, it's the promised land with Mike Mularkey. I don't like that this is exactly what's going to be the best for this quarterback to just really reach his full potential.
I mean, I think objectively you're right, but I just think even beyond Mariota's injuries this season, which I can't deny, I don't think he was playing fully healthy. I don't know how else to phrase it other than I just had this distinct feeling like Mularkey was not going to be their answer long term.
Uh-huh.
And he talked about that exotic smash mouth a year and a half ago. Nothing about their offense looked like it was exotic. Let me put it this way. When the Titans play on offense, it looks like the field is smaller.
Mm-hmm.
When I watch them play offensively, it looks like the NFL field is shrunk.
Well, but at least last year, and it's funny, Mariota had a better year last year when they had slower wide receivers. Then this year, they add...
That's true.
They add to the receiving core, and one of them, look, Corey Davis is a rookie, Eric Decker is old, but still, that didn't get any better. If anything, you're right, it looked even smaller. It looked even less exciting. And I'll defend Mularkey on the exotic smash mouth. That was a term brought over from Pittsburgh. Somebody actually asked him about it, and he responded to it. It's not like they tried to rebrand it. It wasn't like exotic. They didn't trademark the phrase or anything like that.
It's not as if he just suddenly brought up exotic smash mouth.
He didn't come in and was like, we're going to be exotic smash mouth. Kapow! It was just kind of, they were going to run power football in a lot of respects, but they were going to add some wrinkles to it. And I think they actually did do that. The problem is, you can't do it if your quarterback is banged up. Like, the exotic part of it with Marcus Mariota is going to be that, hey, this kid's a threat to run at any time. We're going to run boot. We'll run a whole bunch of RPO and all of this stuff. You remember a couple years ago in the preseason, all the fun stuff they were doing where they were running options and extending the option downfield?
It looked much better.
He was pitching like 5 yards past the line of scrimmage. They were doing some really cool stuff. You just can't do that when your quarterback is winged. And he's been winged consistently now.
So here's where we're at. So Mike Mularkey is out as the head coach of the Titans. A bit of a surprise after the weekend. Maybe not a shock to some, but they gave him basically they gave him one of those votes of confidence last week because there are all the reports before Kansas City. Hey, this might be it from Mike Mularkey. If they lose, they might hire Josh McDaniels. The immediate thought after they lose this weekend and they fire Mularkey or mutually part ways, however you want to phrase it, is, oh, they're going after Josh McDaniels. That's apparently not the case, because Josh McDaniels will be the next head coach of Indianapolis by all the reports. Like, that will be happening.
Amy Adams Strunk, who is the representative owner in that ownership group, I forget what the actual term is, she's the one that speaks for the Titans, compare Amy Adams Strunk to Mark Davis. These are two. Okay. These are two people that both inherited their teams from, let's say, I don't know if even polarizing is the right term, but from, I guess, abrasive owners. One from Mark Davis, obviously from Al Davis, and then Amy Adams Strunk from Bud Adams. I feel like she genuinely has an affection for Mike Mularkey.
I think
she wanted to keep Mike Mularkey, but she was torn by the fact that perhaps there were dissenting opinions within the organization.
I agree with you. And one of the thoughts I had about this, and maybe this is not fair, but would Bob McNair have made this, the same kind of move? Mm-hmm. I tend to think not.
I don't know. Well, okay.
In fairness, McNair has never faced this kind of set of circumstances that Tennessee has.
Right, because this is the problem, though. To say, would he have made that kind of move, that first you have to hire Mike Mularkey in the first place. And he wasn't really the first choice of anybody there. It was very much of a, it felt like a Band-Aid, just patchwork solution that was always intended to be temporary, and he kind of worked his way into the good graces of ownership while he was doing it.
I mean, the Texans,
you know what he did? Mike Mularkey, first and foremost, what he did was he protected the franchise quarterback.
He did.
He stopped trying to leave. And this is why the Tennessee Titans offensive line got more credit than they should have last year. Last year, that offensive line got a whole lot of help from the running backs and tight ends and pass protections. Like they dumbed it down for that Titans offensive line. Then you're watching yesterday when they have to try to go out on a limb a little bit. You see, what is your buddy Taylor Lewan lets up an easy sack on a simple TE stunt, and he's like pointing over at the center like it was the center's fault.
I blame it on communication.
You saw that it was some kind of communication issue. I know there might have been somebody that's supposed to molly over there to help, but it sure looked like Taylor Lewan, whenever he gets beat, will get up and limp or point to somebody like he's the equivalent of a defensive back that it can never just be his fault. So that's what those guys are. They're good enough, but they were helped by the scheme a whole lot last year. When all of a sudden, if you want to say, we're going to win playoff games and we're going to be a big bruising, bad offensive line, they're actually not those guys.
They're not. They can't do that. Okay. Now you asked the question because now that Mularkey is out in Tennessee, their first interview request is Texans defensive coordinator Mike Vrabel. You asked the question like, all right, how would you go about presenting Mike Vrabel if you're the owner who hired him? Who are the examples of other guys who have been
at
this level?
Yeah, it's not like you have to sell him to the fan base necessarily, but I am wondering, okay, if Amy Adams Strunk hired Mike Vrabel, what exactly are you saying at the press conference? That, hey, this guy was really good as a player in New England, also at Ohio State back in the day. He was a great, great position coach. Even Seth Payne from Houston says he was a great position coach. So far, when he's been in charge, when he's been in charge of half a football team, there are excuses and reasons for it. There are explanations for it, but his track record is that he did not have a very good defense at all. So, but we just like his leadership skills so much that here's your new head football coach.
Okay, here's what I would say about Vrabel. He only had 1 year as a coordinator.
Right.
Things went wrong. He lost Watt.
This is the tone you're
merciless.
Using?
No.
At the press conference? Okay, you got to bring him a little bit more.
It's 6:23 in the morning.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, so.
Well, I'm like, if you're talking to the good people of Nashville.
I came up with two names of guys who were not like successful coordinators in the NFL by traditional measures. Doug Marrone and Andy Reid.
Okay.
Now, Andy Reid obviously is basically an offensive genius, but Andy Reid was actually never a coordinator.
Right.
Andy Reid was never a coordinator, and Doug Marrone has.
But
he
was a quarterbacks coach.
He was, yes.
It's a little bit different. He called plays.
It's a little bit different in spirit.
But no, I know. But it's and he did call plays. But I got you.
I honestly went through every single NFL team. It was very hard to find a comp for Mike Vrabel for a guy who's gone on to be successful in the NFL.
Because there are guys that like Tomlin was only a coordinator for 1 year, but it was like a top five defense in Minnesota the year he was a coordinator.
Yeah, they were like six in DVOA. Doug Marrone. Now I'm saying Doug Marrone. Not like Doug Marrone hired in Jacksonville, just Doug Marrone, the coach in general. Because if you look at his coaching career, Doug Marrone was an offensive line coach who then became an OC with the Saints under Sean Payton. But realistically, I'm strongly guessing he was not calling plays with the Saints. He was one of those offensive coordinators in title only. And Doug is one of those guys who people thought was, hey, this guy seems like a head football coach. This is a guy in Doug Marrone who seems like he's going to be the leader of 53 guys or 85 guys at Syracuse.
Yeah.
And then he went on to success. That's the best parallel I can come up with somebody who's similar to Mike Vrabel and went on to succeed.
I would say, too, I think even more than, even though Mike Tomlin had success as a coordinator for just 1 year, and Mike Vrabel hasn't had success. I think Tomlin was a guy who, like Vrabel, was pegged as head coach material very early on. So if you're going to look at a guy who was kind of just singled out for his charisma and whatever that it factor is, that's what people feel about Mike Vrabel.
Well, here's the fear. You fired somebody to fix Marcus Mariota, basically, and then you'd be hiring Mike Vrabel, who's a defensive guy. If Mike is interviewing with me, I'd say, okay, what's your plan with Mariota, and who's your offensive coordinator? That's what I want to know.
And that's what it all boils down to now is you've got all these guys who aren't necessarily great head coach candidates. And by the way, I think that's overblown. I don't know, was Sean McVay like unanimously the guy that everybody said, oh yeah, this guy, that 31-year-old who's real bright and he's going to be the next, he's going to be the next coming of Tom Landry. I don't worry too much about that. What we know is this. In the NFL head coaching carousel, there will be a bunch of guys hired who actually aren't qualified, you find out afterwards, no matter how much ballyhoo there was. And that eventually, over time, there are also a lot of guys waiting in the ranks who haven't been identified who are qualified to run NFL teams. Nobody freaking knows. Yeah, Mike Zimmer! You guys watch that Minnesota game?
He's a good coach.
Their defense does? He's calling plays on defense as their team is probably the most complete team left in the playoffs. He couldn't get interviews. If the Mike Zimmer from 5 years ago were still in Cincinnati right now as we're having all this, people would be like, well, there aren't really a lot of good head coaching candidates. It's a rough year. You might not want to fire your coach. Not a lot of good coaching candidates. What about Zimmer? He doesn't interview well. How can I put a guy in charge of a team who doesn't interview well?
Coming up next, if
he can't interview well with a billionaire, how's he supposed to lead a bunch of guys who are nothing like billionaires? I don't know how it works.
Coming up next, an NFL insider will let us know exactly why the Titans have their level of interest in Mike Vrabel. Astros boost their rotation, and the Rockets tried to fight after a loss in Los Angeles.